Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Raiders Insider Podcast on NBCSportsCalifornia.com. Introducing your host, Oakland Raiders Insider, Scott Baer.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Raiders Insider Podcast. This is a postseason special because we have some news to respond to and react to, and that is the expectation that the Raiders will technically rehire John Gruden as their next head coach. And while Mark Davis hasn't addressed that specifically, Mr. Gruden himself went on ESPN's National Morning Radio Show for the network that he also works for as Monday Night Football's analyst. Surprise, surprise there. And said, yes, there is a good chance I'm excited about where I'm at in terms of studying the game and preparing to come back and coach. I just don't want to sit here and speculate about him actually getting the Raiders job is what he means. I don't know what's going to happen. We know what's going to happen. Yep. It's been a long couple of weeks because, as we know, the Raiders have been talking to him and planning an offer that he can't refuse. Mm-hmm. And I know they're going through their process of interviewing candidates. Until they're done, I don't know. But I did have a good meeting with Raiders owner Mark Davis. I've known Mark a long time and have a lot of respect for the Raiders football organization. We expect an announcement next week.
Yeah.
And we expect a formal sit down with Mark Davis and John Gruden as this Raiders franchise heads in a new direction with a new organizational structure.
Yeah.
Because just a week ago, we thought legitimately Reggie McKenzie and Jack Del Rio would be operating in the same way, trying to get them back to where they were in 2016 when they went 12-4. Instead, Mark Davis chose a full change-up because John Gruden said he was ready to come back. Yeah. Mark Davis had enough money and we would assume influence to lure him back. So, Fallon, anybody who's watched our Facebook Live shows over the last couple of days, and it's been a lot of you, knows how you feel about how the process was done in terms of firing Del Rio, hiring John Gruden. You didn't like it. There were some unprofessional aspects to it. But let's move on to what comes next.
Yeah.
Now, we don't know exactly how this McKenzie, John Gruden personnel department or power structure might work, but you've got to think John Gruden's going to have some influence here.
Oh, there's no doubt. And it's funny because the reports came out by ESPN that a possible ownership stake was going to be there to sweeten the deal. I'm sure that his agent asked about it, and then at the end of the day, they're like, nah, it's not going to work. I mean, the owners also have to agree on it, right? That's
exactly.
That's not going to work.
Makes it a lot more complicated.
Exactly. So I like that today he came out, and today this is what, Wednesday? Technically, this is where we're filming this. He came out to ESPN Radio, and he actually said there's no validity to that at all. None, zero, no ownership. That's for sure. That was his quote. I thought that was kind of interesting. However, just with that said, they were willing to at least take the...
To go that far.
Yeah, to go that far with him, which means also they're willing to make sure that he's happy, which means he gets a say in what goes on. And we know when Jack came here, it was completely different when Dennis Allen was here. Dennis Allen had no say whatsoever when it came to the draft, personnel decisions, etc. No say. Let's just be honest, right? When Jack came here, he had a lot of say. Him and I would say Reggie were maybe on the same playing field.
Sure.
They were teammates, right?
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
But now you bring a John Gruden in here. Oh, he's going to have a dang say, and he's probably going to be maybe, I would say, slightly ahead of Reggie if we're going to go and do a hierarchy tree or whatever.
I think that's accurate.
Yeah, and so he's going to have a lot of say. And I think that's going to bring an interesting dynamic because Reggie, obviously, even to begin with, he wanted to keep Sperano, if you remember that.
That's right, yeah.
And Jack Del Rey wasn't even his hire. So now he's getting less and less power as these years go by. And now that Mark Davis finally has his guy, I don't really see where Reggie fits in here. I still really like Reggie as a person. I think he's a decent evaluator. He's had some great draft classes. He's also had some not so good draft classes. So I think that dynamic is going to be really interesting to see how it works. A lot of people say maybe 1 year and then, you know, John brings in his own guy. But I think he'll still be here next year. And I think he just wants to maybe see how things are going to work out. But there's going to be a lot of changes there in the front office, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And John Gruden has personnel guys that he trusts. And as a head coach, especially in season or close to the season, when a personnel department is still looking at pro prospects and into the draft and into the following years, he's going to be busy running a football team. So he's going to need some trusted allies in the personnel department. I would anticipate him bringing some in. So naturally, guys working under Reggie may be impacted by that. Also, when you look at like what you were saying, I think you nailed it in terms of the power structure and how it's going to line up. We still don't know, and we won't know until Mark Davis says one way or the other. Yeah. So we're not reporting that. We're just saying what we think is going to happen. But ultimately, John's going to have influence on all those things. If you go back to his time in Tampa Bay, he ultimately had control over the draft, over bringing in personnel, over all those types of things. And he also has a ton of leverage because Mark Davis, we all know he wanted him back. So I think it's going to be interesting to see that with that type of power and clout, what is he able to do with it? And how are they ultimately going to work together? Because Reggie may take a look at this situation and be like, yeah, I'm under contract. I like the paycheck, but I don't like the situation or the environment. This isn't the type of long-term job prospect that is right for me. So maybe he explores new options. Maybe he's allowed to be let out of his contract. I can't tell you guys, though, Mark and Reggie are very tight, and they always have been.
Yeah.
And Mark Davis has been impatient with virtually everything except for his general manager. Quick on head coaches, quick on trying to get out of town when Oakland isn't working well, and then he goes to LA, and then he pivots, depending on how you look at it, either expertly or frustratingly, right to Las Vegas and ultimately gets a stadium. He has been impatient. He has been incredibly patient with Reggie. I think that will go a long way. But how long he stays is something interesting. These are things to follow. Yeah. Something to watch over the course of this offseason, Fallon, is what he does with higher-priced veterans on this team. There are a lot of guys that make $5 million plus who have no guaranteed money on their contract, and they have no dead money associated with them if they want to get cut. John Gruden's going to have an influence there. There's a lot of guys in that boat. I think the two most popular are obviously Beast Mode.
Yes.
And Michael Crabtree.
Yes.
No, so let's go with Beast Mode first.
Okay.
What do you think is going to happen there? I know it's always tough to predict what Marshawn will do.
Yeah.
But ultimately, how do you think those personalities, could they work out? Should they work out? Should Marshawn stay another year if he wants to? What do you think?
I will never gamble on this. I will never assume when it comes to Marshawn. I would think, like, if Jack was staying, and we spoke about this on our last episode of Raider Central, you know, if Jack was staying, I thought it was going to be up to Marshawn. If Marshawn wants to come back, Marshawn was coming back. Now Gruden is in there, and it's going to be like, okay, does his personality work with Gruden's, right? Is he okay with the way that Marshawn does business? Marshawn doesn't give a crap what you think about him.
Right.
You can't tell Marshawn what to do. You can't tell Marshawn how to act. You can't tell Marshawn to stand up for the national anthem. You can't tell Marshawn a dang thing. So is Gruden going to want to go in there and say, bruh, if you're going to be on this team, you can't do X, Y, and Z, you know, whatever. I don't know. That's probably not going to roll with Marshawn, okay? At the same time, I think Gruden has that fiery personality where, in a weird way, it might actually work because they're both very passionate about things to begin with, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And so you would think, no, fire and fire, it don't work, you know, or Was it piss and vinegar? Is that the same?
Oil and vinegar?
Oil and vinegar? I don't know. Sorry.
Piss and vinegar is generally what we're full of, but I think oil and vinegar.
But anyways,
oil and water.
But I don't even know what it
is. One of those things.
Whatever. Scratch that. But my point to the story is they both have very strong personalities, and they're definitely not the same personalities, but they both have very strong personalities. Now, I think that hearing John when he's broadcasting these games, and he, you know, called, obviously, a Monday Night Football game with the Raiders, and just even most recently, he was like, I love how Marshawn runs with that violent running style, and he loved it, the power running. Like, he basically was like, he runs with power, and he runs with, even though they didn't run to power, but you know what I mean, he kind of was just talking about that and the way that he runs. I think he likes him as a football player. Obviously he's not the future. He'd be on like another, you know, he'd be here for another year,
right,
and that's it. And then when they go to Vegas, he's done. But as far as it working, I mean, that's such a big question mark, man. I think he's no nonsense as far as John Gruden goes, but in a weird way, for some reason, I really think it might work. I don't know why. I'm just going on what I feel in my heart.
I think it's easy to say that it won't.
Yeah.
It's also tough to say what a 45-year-old John Gruden was when he was wrapping up in Tampa.
Yeah.
Or 35 when he was in Oakland.
Yeah.
Versus what he's going to be like now.
Completely different.
Maybe he has a different take on it. Maybe he loves Marshawn's style and will be okay with it. I think there's so many unknowns for a guy that is in the public eye at such a level, whether mm-hmm. he's selling Hooters chicken wings or Coronas or Monday Night Football.
That's going to work in Vegas, by the way.
Absolutely. There's a casino already named after one of those things. So, yeah. So I think it's definitely – I don't think it's an absolute slam dunk one way or the other, because there are definitely pros and cons on both sides. And for as much as, you know, Marshawn, even during individual drills during camp, would go over and talk to his production crew, but then he never missed a single practice except for when he was given rest days. And yeah. I think that in itself
shows he wants
is
to be here.
Maybe out of character versus what we knew and thought about him in Seattle and Buffalo.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's all about what Marshawn wants to do ultimately. Again, it's about what Gruden wants to do. I think that will be a driving storyline as we head towards the spring, yeah. is how he fits, and why not wait to see, you know, to meet with the guy and see where you stand. He's scheduled to make $6 million there or whatever. One more player before we get to the mailbag portion of it. I'm sure there's questions about players in there too, but the Michael Crabtree case intrigues me as well, because just a quick kind of summation is that Michael Crabtree, since he's been here, has done nothing but catch game winners and big time catches and things like that. As he said on Sunday, all I do is catch game winners. And he's not entirely wrong. He had a decline at the end of this year.
Mm-hmm.
He's scheduled to make $7 million.
Yeah.
And at the end of the year, he was used less and less. One with Jack Del Rio said it was a hamstring injury that was a phantom injury. And it was really because of missed opportunities and kind of being phased out a bit from that offensive staff. You know, there's sort of an interesting wrinkle. The Jets offensive coordinator Morton, who is being linked to John Gruden, used to be the 49ers wide receivers coach.
Yep.
Is that a good or a bad thing? We don't know.
Yeah.
Ultimately, Crabtree has been the most steady and reliable.
Yep.
Still a bunch of money left on his contract, getting older every year, less reliable. I don't know if we know that he fits with what Gruden does, but do you think getting rid of a talent like that is a smart thing to do when you have holes in so many other spots?
That's kind of a big question to answer, because
one, like seven parts there.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, you did basically give me like a million ways to lead into this. However, you know, you could obviously get a different talent maybe in the offseason that maybe costs less. However, when it comes to Crabtree, I think the problem with him is he is very good when his team is having success.
Yeah.
When the 49ers are having success, all was well, all was positive. And then when, you know, they didn't, then he had those, you know, controversial times. And then with the Raiders, oh, all was good, you know, when they're winning. They had, seven game, they're turning things around. So he was first there, so he had to be on his best behavior his first year.
That's right.
And then the second.
To get the extension.
To get the extension. He got the extension. They go 12-4, and he's like, oh, yeah. You know, he's all positive, and everyone loves him, and he's a quote-unquote a leader, even though he's, you know, let's be honest, he's a prima donna. That's Michael Crabtree. Not saying that's a bad thing, but because he's, I guess you would say he's hidden that, you know, when the teams are doing well.
Right.
Now, you saw this year when things aren't going right, some of those things came out, you know. Some of his flaws surfaced. And so it's, when it comes to John Gruden, he's a no-nonsense coach. And I think that he's not going to put up with that. At the same time, you have to have somebody in place as a leader who the players respect. And so that is how you ultimately act, right? If you have a lot of respect for your coach, you're not going to act like a prima donna and embarrass yourself and make the coach look bad. You're going to tone it down and be a team player and, you know, do your thing, put your head down, go to work, because you all have the same common goal, and that's to win. So I just think that with a fresh start and with Gruden there, maybe that's a positive for Michael Crabtree. But maybe John comes in here and says, I'm not willing to deal with that. We're going to get someone better.
Yeah, and you're right. Crabtree could absolutely fall in line. Maybe Marshawn feels the same way. John Gruden holds a lot of clout among players as well. Mm-hmm. He's everywhere nationally. He's a respected figure for what he did back when he was a coach and as a broadcaster. Yeah. So I think those things are going to be all interesting to see as we move forward. And we've been obviously talking Raiders all day, every day.
I know.
Especially on our Facebook live chats, we've been having incredible numbers of comments and viewers and all those types of things. And we just cannot get to everything in 30 minutes. So we thought that we would steal a couple of topics that we didn't get to, that I didn't ruin by bringing up Marshawn and Crabtree already, Fallon. And maybe just bring up a couple different topics and give some shout outs and what have you.
Well, since we're talking about Gruden and his relationship with possible players, right? So let's get to Tobias. He asked a question of, do you think Derek and Gruden could work together? Derek is so mild-mannered, and Chucky is the total opposite. Do you see that, you know, exploding? And I think no. You know why? I say that it'll work, and here's why. Derek Carr learned from this year. He doesn't need a friend. He needs a coach. Todd Downing was his friend. Let's just be honest. I think he knows now that, you know, he didn't live up to his $125 million contract, and he has something to prove this year. And he wants a coach who's going to make him better and make everybody around him better, as Carr needs to make everybody around him better as well. And I just think that, okay, look, yes, John Gruden is going to say the F word every other word, okay? That's just who he is. That's not who Carr is. But I think it'll work. Opposites, sometimes that works. Opposites attract, you know, that's the saying. But I just think that they're going to have so much respect for one another that, and I think that John is going to challenge him in a positive way that he's not been challenged before. And I just think that you can get positive results. I really, really think that this dynamic is going to work, especially because John is excited about working with somebody like Derek Carr.
Yeah, I think that was part of the reason why the Raiders were intriguing. There's lots of reasons, but having a good quarterback is one. Something that, I mean, he kind of revived Rich Gannon's career in Oakland, and he got a lot out of Brad Johnson, but to have the kind of talent that you see with Derek's physical ability, I think is important. And you go back to it, and Derek isn't the first mild-mannered religious football player in the history of ever. I think a good example is Kurt Warner, who's cut from the same cloth, who worked with Mike Martz, who can be a fiery individual, and in with Tom Coughlin, and even Bruce Arians can be colorful, and he coexisted just fine.
And had a lot of success.
Right, and Derek coexists just fine in a locker room. He's not a delicate flower. He's a tougher guy who wants to do better. And ultimately, maybe I think it's safe to say 2017 could be a bit of a gut check for Derek Carr, that maybe he's constantly learning things, but maybe he learned from the experience of falling behind. And everybody said it's better to have a coach, not a friend, and all these types of things that maybe you learn during this process. He still has a hulking offensive line. He still has quality protection. There's still a lot of things going well for him. And the interactions he's had with John Gruden in the past have been productive and very friendly. And John Gruden's made no secret about his talent and his willingness to work with him. And I think that all those things are ultimately positives that could lead to a positive union here.
Completely agree with you there. Okay, so next question is from Mark, our friend from across the pond. He said, my big question is about Gruden and his patchy track record in developing young talent versus creating a winning team and culture with veterans. Is that a fair concern in your view? Well, one, as a head coach and just a talent evaluator, all coaches need to be able to develop their talent. Right. And I think that was maybe Jack's downfall because he, when it came to, okay, I blame Reggie for not bringing, like, let's say, a middle linebacker, whether it was drafting one early or whether it was just getting somebody in the offseason, right? Because they got lucky with Navarro Bowman later. So they thought they were going to develop these young middle linebackers. Obviously, there was a lot of injuries, but they weren't able to do that. Mm-hmm. And they were middle linebackers of the professional in the NFL.
Right.
You know, so that was a huge question mark there. But as far as his track record goes, I mean, he's 9 years removed, though.
Yeah.
From the NFL. So I really can't even – obviously, you're going to go on numbers and stats. Okay, he was – you know, what was he like? Did he have a losing record as a coach? I forgot if it was like 47 and 50.
He has a winning record now. His playoff record is it's closer to 500.
Oh, closer to 500.
Think.
Okay, yeah.
He's had 2-8-8 seasons, 2-9-7 seasons, and a 4-12 season.
So. Yeah, I just saw something today that Chuck Pagano had a higher winning percentage than he did. Mm-hmm. But anyways, and I get it. He won a Super Bowl without his own players, you know, with Tony Dungy's players, and I get all that. But I'm not really going based on that because he's had, and he said in his quotes, you know, like 9 years to watch tape, evaluate players, just look at the NFL as a whole and the direction they're heading is because it's an offensive league now. You know what I mean? It's completely different than when he was coaching, in my opinion. So I don't really go based on that, but I didn't probably answer Mark's question. So I apologize. You want to jump
in? I think
in
that you did. I mean, I just think that in terms of developing talent, the assistants he brings in are going to be vital in that. Aim, yeah, and again, this is too strong a term, but he's kind of a savant in a certain regard in that, in terms of a passing game, the guy is excellent.
Yes,
but even when he was in Oakland, he passed off a lot of running design and responsibility to his offensive line coach. Mm-hmm. So he knows what he knows. He knows what he doesn't, and it's about those position coaches that really develop.
Yes.
So, well, I think before we can truly answer that, let's see how this this coaching staff fleshes out. Another thing about him being really popular across the league and having a lot of friends in every team is that he's going to have some attractive candidates who are going to want to come in here
and join
the staff.
Heck yeah. Yeah, no doubt about that. Okay, so let's move on. Oh, and by the way, let me just say this while I'm looking at questions real quick. Not sure if you guys know, but in 1998, when Al Davis hired John Gruden, guess when it was? January 8th. Guess what Monday is, folks? January 8th. So John Gruden can possibly be hired on the 20th anniversary in which Al Davis first hired him in Oakland for the first time. Isn't that kind of crazy?
That is a full circle moment, to be sure. And that would be interesting if that's kind of how it all played out.
Yeah, okay. So, AJ, we've been asked this a little bit. I think we answered it on our Facebook live chat. But will Greg Olsen and Rich Gannon be co-quarterback coaches?
No. It's going to be one or the other. And it's just a matter of which guy kind of goes for it, or it could be somebody else. The one thing about all these assistants that are being linked that you're going to hear after Gruden's name gets announced and all that kind of stuff is the agents are working the phones right now trying to get their guy another job or a better job or a more lucrative job from a team that could spend 8 figures per year on a head coach. So yeah. I think take all that. It could be another quarterback's coach or another position coach, although you know, I do believe that Gruden will bring in quality candidates.
I don't know if we have anything else to get to, but real quick, we'll have one more from Michelle. This is actually a very good point. Michelle said, Gruden said he liked Connor Cook.
He did.
With Gruden as coach, will we finally see Connor Cook improve and take over the backup role? That's a very good point. I always go back to, and like I said, everyone makes mistakes. This was years ago, but he liked Johnny Manziel.
He did.
Over freaking Carr, and you know, and he didn't like the pick to get Khalil Mack, which
That worked out.
Yeah, that definitely worked out in the Raiders' favor. So at least they weren't asking John Gruden for his advice back then.
Yeah.
But as far as Connor Cook goes, that's interesting. I mean, he's still on the team.
He is.
And they can he can develop him into a solid backup quarterback, which would be ideal, obviously.
Mm-hmm, sure. And Connor Cook, if you go back to the Gruden quarterback camp or whatever, I think he said, if I'm going to go find the best arm in college football that year, I'm going to go to Michigan State, where Connor Cook went to school.
Yeah.
He was a big Connor Cook guy. He's a built like a prototypical quarterback, Connor Cook is, and maybe Gruden sees a possibility of really kind of taking him to the next level. I mean, it is difficult in these parts because Derek Carr literally takes 100% of all practice snaps.
Yeah.
100. So it's about off seasons and training camps and things like that. And ultimately, I believe, and so do you, that Derek Carr is going to be a quarterback for this franchise for a long time.
Yes.
So maybe it's more about developing Connor Cook into a tradable commodity.
Yes.
I'm not going to liken him to another quarterback in this market.
Not like obviously Jimmy Garoppolo?
Because that's turned out just something different. But
yeah. But
the Patriots got a draft pick for Ryan Mallett, and they got a lot of different there's been a lot of guys who have gotten traded, backups who could become starters who show well. And if they could develop him into something like that, that's not an altogether bad thing. So
yes.
With that, we are out of time.
We've talked
a full 25 minutes of nonstop Gruden this, Gruden that. Next time that we talk to you, number one, Amy Trask is going to join us. I'm so excited, and she's going to drop some serious knowledge about John Gruden way back when and when John Gruden got traded.
She's busy.
She is incredibly busy. So we'll talk to her next week. Fallon and I will also go through more of your questions, not only on Facebook Live, but here on the podcast, with a whole bunch more to talk about, and quite possibly after an announcement that John Gruden officially becomes the next Raiders head coach.
And possibly after a press conference.
After a press conference as well. Lots of good stuff to come from you. Thank you so much for downloading and listening. And if you haven't already, please, 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 please subscribe to the Raiders Insider Podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Fallon and I will talk to you soon.
Peace out.
Raiders Insider Podcast on NBC Sports California.com.